morning I want us to consider the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. All four Gospels record it, so that should bear some weight on the importance of it to us. Let me read first Matthew 21, 11 verses here. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come unto Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Well, as I say, the other Gospels, Luke as well, mirrors this. And we have from John as well. We'll touch on that in a moment. Let me just first make a couple comments here. The writer here tells us that the multitude went before and followed him, crying, Hosanna. But in the city it says, and when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is he? They didn't know. Now, my commentators, they say that there's two different groups here. John tells us that those multitude, it says they come for the feast, the Passover, they came. And the people of the city, the ones who were in the city, where was the citadel of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Herodians, all the various sects, the priests and the high priests, the Roman government, they were like, Who is he? Mm-hmm. See, there were two different groups of people. Later on, we read about a multitude saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Release Barabbas. But here we read of a multitude saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Amen. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hosanna in the highest.
Amen.
That there's two groups we see here that's recorded. Now, I don't know, in my Bible, the triumphant infantry, triumphant entry. It's labeled at the top of my page. Many Bibles or so. Every commentator I read refers to this as the triumphant entry. Now that's not in the text, but people of God have referred to this as the triumphant entry for the beginning, I suppose. We want to give some thought to this, the triumphant entry. I'll confess that when I began studying the scripture some years ago, it puzzled me. Maybe it was influenced. There was a movie about that time. I think it was Cleopatra, Elizabeth Taylor, Rex Reed, and Cleopatra in the movie made this grand entrance into Rome. Rex Reed's playing Caesar. He set up on a throne. There was a long stairs high. And we see first these young maidens come, strewing flowers on the pathway, the road. And then come trumpeters. Then there were dancers, various dress, different cultures, dancers, and after them come military people, men with infantry, shields, and that, and then after that, through the gates, here come these slaves pulling this rope, pulling a sled or what it was her throne, and it was high, and it was equal to that of Caesar's. It was so high. It was pictured that way. This was a grand entry. See, when I, as a boy, young man, read this, it didn't comport to that triumphant entry I saw concerning Cleopatra and that, you know. Why isn't Jesus's entry into Jerusalem like unto that? For instance, let's look at Mount Sinai. It says, then the earth shook. I'm reading from Psalms 18:7. And then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations also, the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of the nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Now, to me, that's a triumphant entry. That speaks of a triumphant entry. But we read in our text, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and the colt, the foal of an ass. There was something different here that many missed. At one time I'd missed it, but there's something that was different here, and it didn't portray that grandeur that I read here at Mount Sinai, or portrayed in that movie, or in other events of history. Let me speak of one of your poets, Shakespeare. He writes in the play Caesar concerning Pompey. This was one of the senators who was scolding some of the citizens who were cheering for Caesar. He says, know ye not, many a time and oft have you climbed up the walls and battlements, to towers and windows, yea, to chimney tops, your infants in your arms, and there have set live long day and patient with patient expectation to see great Pompey pass the streets of Rome. And when you saw his chariot but appear, have you not made a universal shout that Tiber trembled underneath her banks to hear the replication of your sounds made in her concave shores? And do you now put on your best attire? And do you now call out a holiday? And do you now strew flowers in his way? There was a triumphant entry into the city of Rome by Pompey. The people, they cheered. They climbed walls and embattlements and even chimneys. They carried their children so that their children could see it too. But we read that Mark 11:9. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Here was the multitude that were there. They cried in exaltation and praise for the Lord as well. So that we see the similarity in this triumphant entry into the city spoken here in this play. Let's call to mind victorious armies entering cities. I looked at the end of the Civil War. There was a 2-day victory celebration. The armies of the Potomac and General Sherman, Tecumseh Sherman's army came, just returning from his march through Georgia and the Carolinas, returned to Washington. The war had ended. The president had declared that all the rebellion had ceased, and a preparation was made, that a victory. And it took 2 days. 2 days. First, Meade's army, his forces, marched through the city from the Capitol Hill along the Potomac Avenue to the White House and through the whole city of Washington, turned out throngs. They cheered the troops. They sung songs of the Union Army. 80,000 infantrymen, 80,000, 12 abreast, marched, pulling hundreds of pieces of artillery with horse-drawn caissons. 7 miles, it says, 7 mile line of cavalrymen. It took them hours to pass before the viewing stand. 80,000. And then the next day, William Tecumseh Sherman's army, they having just finished their 2,000 mile march through the Confederacy, 65,000 man army. And it says here they did not march with the precision of Meade's army, but the crowd was thrilled by them. They thrilled the crowds. The lean, tattered, sunburnt troops with a huge entourage that followed Sherman's march to the sea, medical workers, laborers, black families had fled slavery, the scavengers that supplied the army, livestock that was taken from the farms of the Carolinas and Georgia, all passed before the viewing stand with these songs. 65,000 men, 80,000 infantrymen, cavalrymen, hundreds of pieces of artillery. What a triumphant entry that they had made. John 12:14 tells us, are seen back in Jerusalem, and Jesus went. And Jesus, having found a young ass, set upon it. You know, General Sherman and his stallion and the infantrymen, what a contrast we have here. Jesus set upon a young ass, the triumphant entry. And then in just the last 100 years, World War I, World War II, as the ships returned from Europe, parades, victory parades in the city of New York as the troops marched down the street. I'd read that even more so in Moscow, Red Square, the Stalin had passed an order, and there were thousands and thousands of troop and material. Military equipment just passed and by, and it was a time for celebration and victory. You know what a ticker tape parade is? Maybe the younger folks, strips of paper they used back before computers to send the message concerning the quotations of stocks. Just piles and piles of it. Well, they would open their windows and just throw this out in celebration. Charles Lindbergh flew across the Atlantic, and when he came back, they had a ticker tape parade for him. As well as I remember when I was a boy, we sat in front of the TV in school, and John Glenn, he too was given a ticker tape parade. These were triumphant entries. So what I'm trying to do here is I want to set our minds here. What are we talking about? What was that event that happened there back in Jerusalem? Mark 11, we read, and they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strewed them in the way. and they that went before, and they that followed Christ, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And John, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, here differentiates those from the city, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, and as it was written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. And it says, and here's the secret, I think. Here's what I'm talking about. What's the difference between these magnificent, glorious parades that we spoke about concerning returning troops or heroes like Lindbergh or John Glenn? What's the difference in what we saw there in Jerusalem? John 12:16 reads, these things understood not the disciples at the first. It wasn't clear to them either. Well, I felt like I'm in good company, right? They understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. When Jesus was glorified. We speak in terms of, we're on this side of the cross. Well, there was the other side. Jesus was on the other side of the cross in his days. He was the Word was made flesh. He was born in a stable, not in a palace. His parents, Joseph and Mary, they had to borrow a bed, a manger, and laid him in. That was before the cross. Very humble beginnings. We read that Jesus hungered, he thirsted, he was tempted of the devil, he was despised, he became weary, he needed to sleep, he was rejected of men. He was bruised and mocked and eventually hung upon the cross. That was before the cross. Well, the events of this triumphant entry that we read, that was before the cross. Jesus was meek and lowly. Let's consider some of the contrast here. Look at the reaction of the enemies of Jesus. He come to them riding upon a colt of an ass. There was no huge military parade. It was not 80,000 troops like there was returning from the Army of the Potomac. It was Jesus on a colt of an ass. But see how threatened his enemies were. Satan knew who he was. Remember the time they said, have you come before the time? Come to torment us before the time? Satan knew. Well, those enemies of Christ in Jerusalem, they knew who he was. They saw something in this entry of him into the city of Jerusalem. They saw something there. Again, he had to cleanse the temple of the money changers. They saw something here. It was a threat to them because they saw more than some crazy prophet from Galilee riding up on a colt, a donkey. It was more than that. They sensed and knew that there was a threat. His triumphant entry into was before the cross. He came meek and lowly, non-threatening. There was no threat here from him. There was no army to conquer the Romans or Jerusalem. He was meek and lowly, non-threatening. On that side of the cross, lift up your heads. How many of our brethren have read that even today? Lift up your heads, O ye gates, O be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle? Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Amen. Who is the King of glory, the Lord of hosts? He is the King of glory. There's a triumphant entry.
Yes.
There's a triumphant entry. We read in Psalm 68, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai and in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. That sound familiar? Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts of men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belongeth issues from death. There's a triumphant entry. Thousands of angels, chariots of God are 20,000. This is a triumphant entry. And what did he do? He ascended up in high. We're looking now on this side of the cross. He ascended up on high. He gave gifts to men. There's the effectualness of his glorification. It had an efficacy upon us.
Amen.
And his ascension into heaven, when the gates of heaven were opened up, he was giving gifts to us.
Amen.
There was the effectiveness, the effect on us of his glorification. Reading again in Psalm 68, 31, princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises unto the Lord. To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Here's some of our benefits. He gives us strength and power. Blessed be the God. Blessed be the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who made that triumphant entry into heaven of itself.
Amen.
Notice, we read on the other side of the cross, he entered into Jerusalem riding upon the colt, the foal of an ass. Here it says, he rideth upon the heavens of heavens. That was his mode of transportation. Daniel, he has a vision. Daniel 7:13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. There's a triumphant entry.
Amen.
Into the throne room of the Ancient of Days, and he received glory, dominion, kingdoms, and all peoples. That was our man, captain of our salvation, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The same man who rode upon an ass, the foal, the colt of an ass. That was him. He rode upon the clouds and appeared before the Ancient of Days.
Amen.
A number of the brethren read this from Ephesians, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. There's the efficacy of Christ's glorification. He gives us gifts. He gives us the apostle he listed as, but let's consider some others. Salvation. The love of the brethren, Brother Dick was talking about.
Amen.
He gives us faith. It's a gift.
Amen.
The gifts that this triumphant Christ who entered the heavens, the throne room of God, before the 24 beasts and the multitude that sung, "Holy, holy, holy." When John looked, he saw a lamb as it had been slain.
Amen.
This is him who entered triumphantly into heaven itself.
Amen.
So we come to the Lord's table here. We're going to partake of this broken body and this spilt blood. He died for us. We, on this side of the cross, we look and see what he's done for us.
Amen.
We can look and we can see. And as we partake of it, our minds are turned to that, what Christ Jesus has done in our stead. For we were lowly, without strength. But in due time, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Let us give thanks.
Amen.
Father, we thank